Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Some teams go with a stopgap quarterback. We do not go with a stopgap reporter on Tuesday. We go with the real deal, and that is Neil Coulon.
Yes, absolutely not a stopgap anything. I'm here for all of the excitement for these wacky Steelers this offseason. I'm really looking forward to seeing how all this is going to shake out. So glad to be here to discuss the beginning of it. I feel like we're in a new era.
Yes, the Mitchell Trubisky era is now underway as the Steelers have made their transition back to the Neil O'Donnell days.
If they're lucky.
I will say this about Mitchell. We talk about Neil O'Donnell. Trubisky can move, right? I mean, he can move. Not only that, he's got some quicks to him. The question is whether in key moments he can deliver the ball the way they need it.
Well, for whatever mobility he has, there's no real empirical evidence to suggest that you can rely on it as a passer. I'm not trying to pull punches or anything like that. There's nothing that can suggest you can rely on him as a passer. He's woefully deficient in terms of throwing the ball. That's a pretty important job requirement. And I don't see in four seasons how they could think he's able to do that. To me, he looks like the type of guy that it wasn't long ago they signed as a backup. Now they're paying him not exactly high-level starter money, but a lot more than the guy that we all have problems with that they gave an extension to last year. The idea was if you lock Mason Rudolph up by giving him a signing bonus to get him to sign an extension, you'd avoid having to pay for Mitch Trubisky on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
If that wasn't their plan, why did you give money to Mason Rudolph last year? Or to bracket that thought, you have Rudolph on your team, I guess, because you thought he'd be your backup. You just gave a mid-level tender to Dwayne Haskins. You had the option to give him the lowest tender, and I assure you nobody in the NFL was going to match an offer to Dwayne Haskins.
Right.
I really hope that they know that as well. Or you could, not tender him because I'm not sure that you need him at that price point. Why did you give him an original round tender? That's another $1 million that you're throwing into the quarterback position that you don't really seem to need. Now, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Logic, to me, dictates they feel Haskins is in a position to compete for a backup job on this team. And if he wins, say that the number two job, weirder things have happened. This team won 9 games last year. I still don't know how that happened. But let's say they're telling Dwayne Haskins, look, we're serious. If we're going to give you a shot. If you win the backup job, you'll get $2.5 million. That's about what we want to pay for our backup quarterback. We did last year. We're going to do it again. Okay. I don't understand then what you're doing, because the old axiom, this has always seemed true to me, as said by Bill Parcells back in the day, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. What that means is if you don't know who your guy is, you don't have one.
Right.
And now you've made financial moves for Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Dwayne Haskins twice in the last 13 months. If you don't have two, if you have three as opposed to two, you really don't have anybody. And at best, what you're representing top to bottom here is that you don't know who the starting quarterback of this team is, or you are severely divided on who that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you're splitting your reps in training camp, which means your starter gets a third of the reps. And keep in mind, Steve, this is before the draft.
Right.
They really should be drafting one, because now Trubisky is the only guy who's signed for next year.
I know.
But what's your future plan here? You obviously don't think enough of Trubisky to give him more than a 2-year contract. So you are in the exact same position next year that you're in now. And that was the same position you were in last year. What's the plan here? To me, they don't have one. And that's really more of why I'm frustrated. I could go into to Mitch Trubisky being an abjectly poor passer. I could get into that all day. But to me, the main problem is the Pittsburgh Steelers do not represent in any way that they have a plan at this position moving forward. And they are going to continue to recycle backups in the eyes of the rest of the NFL. I don't know what the ending point is, because I don't think that either Mason Rudolph or Mitch Trubisky are long-term starters in the NFL, yet they continue to pay these guys to come in and now play quarterback for them now that Ben Roethlisberger is retired. So I don't know. I get the feeling, though, you and I are going to be talking about the same thing next March.
I get a feeling we will be, too, because this goes back to what I talked about with you last week, and that, like, I think you have to look at the quarterbacks that are available, that are potentially available in 23, 24, and ask yourself if your guy is in that group, because it's not in this group. Trubisky can get you there in terms of like being a stopgap. You know, does he play a year and then you redo the contract if it works out well? Or do you get scared to death after 1 year and say, forget it? But this, you just feel like this is, for the moment, Tommy Maddox, Neil O'Donnell, that group.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure that those, relatively and comparatively speaking, weren't better options than what they have now. If you want to get, here's the thing. More quarterbacks does not necessarily mean more availability in the 20s. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're putting money into this team, and we're talking 7-10, 8-9, 9-8, that range. I don't think they're going to be an improved team this season. I don't think they're going to win. In fact, they'll probably regress a little bit this season, not catch a bit of the good fortune that they had, especially over the second half of last season.
Right.
With that in mind, if they're drafting 15, 16, there's no assurance that they're getting a good quarterback there just because the class is good.
Right.
You don't draft a class.
Right.
And you don't compare prospects to other prospects. You get one guy with one pick. So, to be honest, if you want to increase your chances of getting one of the best quarterbacks in next year's draft, start Dwayne Haskins. Don't bring in another
right.
Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph-type quarterback. Just start one of them and let him go. None of these guys are viable options. Why are you spending $7 million a season on Mitch Trubisky when Mason Rudolph is beyond some alleged mobility, which isn't going to help when all he's doing is bootlegging and doesn't know what he's looking at beyond
yeah.
one read on the field anyway? It that doesn't help anything. And the more that you want to use him as a runner in your offense, the shorter his season's going to get, because he's going to get tagged at some point.
Yeah.
And Rudolph's going to play anyway, so what's the point? I don't understand in any way what is going on, except to suggest there are multiple ideas being presented here. Maybe that is connected with the fact that Kevin Colbert is retiring after the draft. I just don't see how one person or one group could have come to consensus on all of these decisions, because they just simply don't line up with each other. It doesn't look like it's part of any one kind of long tail plan. And if that's the case, you're throwing darts at a board. You don't have a plan. And now, oddly enough, the best thing you could have done was at least draft a young prospect that you could develop. And that might be the worst thing that they could do, because then they have four quarterbacks. There's not enough reps to go around. One of them is getting cut, and three of the four would have just gotten a contract. So, again, what are you doing? You know, the idea of having quarterbacks compete in training camp is antithetical, in my opinion, simply because they're not going to get enough time to work with the offense. And if you're going to tell me that Trubisky, Rudolph, Haskins, and a rookie taken at best 20 overall don't need to work with the offense, you're sorely mistaken.
Well, it goes back to, and you know I've used this before, but I'm getting concerned the Steelers are becoming the Atlanta Hawks. Where you're good enough to be right around the playoff chase or just out of it, but you're not bad enough to put yourself in a prime draft position that could change the franchise for a decade.
We saw that last year. I mean, the fact that they pulled out 9-8 pretty remarkable, in my opinion. I thought the coaching job Mike Tomlin did in 2019, when he got 8-8 out of that team, was really something else. It's not like this team was any better. They're grossly overachieving, and what I contend is they're one injury away from some of the few playmakers that they have from a pretty rough season. And Mitch Trubisky is not helping that in any way, shape, or form. You may as well have either saved the money or put it somewhere else. You didn't upgrade the position nearly $7 million worth. And I'm not afraid of the cap. I'm not quibbling over somebody else's money. I'm just saying $7 million can get you a player who is grossly more impactful on the game than Mitch Trubisky. There's absolutely no doubt of that. I don't understand the fit. I don't understand the need. It has nothing to do with Mason Rudolph. It just doesn't seem like a move that's connected to anything that they're going to be able to do. But they're still signing offensive linemen, which is probably a good thing considering right. where they were last year at this time. My fear, though, top to bottom, is they still don't have any playmakers on offense. Those guys can't make plays at the level that you need guys to make plays. And if you don't have that, I don't really understand why you think Mitch Trubisky is going to provide that for you with or without a better offensive line.
Neil, you did reference the three offensive linemen. What did you think of the three signings?
To be honest, Mason Cole was not a guy who was on my radar. I know people within the Vikings. I live in Minnesota. I know a lot of people that root for the Vikings. I asked them about him, and the words weren't exactly positive, but he fits the mold of what the Steelers like to have, a consistent multi-position interior offensive lineman and a dual position offensive tackle. They like veteran players for those spots. That makes sense. The price point's a little interesting. We haven't seen him go up that high. I can't imagine there was a market for him. Maybe there was, I guess. I don't know, but interesting. James Daniels, though, is a good football player.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I like that
is.
Signing.
Yep.
And that's probably at the price that you would expect him to have gotten. So good. You and I talked about this before. They were going to sign a right guard. I was 100% confident in them doing that. They needed to. I think that's the smartest signing they could have made for the dollar, probably, considering what Sheriff ended up going for. So I think that makes sense. You and I also talked about Chukwuma Okorafor
yep.
at that $9 to $10 million range. He hit that, right on the money. I'm not surprised the Steelers were interested in keeping him. That's an amount at a position the Steelers don't typically pay, but I think it goes to show they need to get something solid in there. And Chukwuma, to some extent, he bailed him out last season. Things didn't go the way that I think the Steelers wanted, and I think his agent can probably say, look, he trained all offseason to be the left tackle. You moved him to right tackle because of injury. He had to play right tackle all last season. You're going to pay him this level, right or left tackle. Let's get on the same page, though, about what position he's going to play moving forward, because you want to keep this guy. The arrow is still pointed up for him. He's mm-hmm. really young. He's a good athlete. We're seeing good things from him. His best football is in front of him. I think that's what the Steelers are paying for there, but it's the right move. I like that move. Generally speaking, people don't think he's worth it. At some point, especially when an offensive lineman of all positions who's 24 years old, keep that in mind, mm-hmm. Reaches free agency, you're signing on potential still. He really still has that kind of new to the league shine to him. He hasn't played that much, but two starting years of experience, growth in that time. Good. I like that. If that's the right side of your line, I like to think that it's definitely stronger with Daniels in there. And I think Chukes is going to be better for the experience that he had last season. What they'll do about center. I mean, does Mason Cole come in and compete for the center job?
Right.
Or maybe the left guard is where Daniels will end up. I don't know. There's no reason to think that Kevin Dotson is set in place for anything anymore. Not after last season, that's
right.
for sure. We still don't know what they're going to do about Zach Banner. I think that's going to trickle down to a decision on Joe Haig and the draft coming up as well. So there are a lot of moving parts within the offensive line, but I think they signed the right players for where they're trying to go, and they've given themselves options to explore between now and camp. So I give him an A for that just because it's going along the lines they needed to go down. Well, we have to wait and see what it looks like on the field. But I think they signed the right guys and they added the right kind of depth to create options for themselves that maybe they didn't have as much of last year that could have helped them out a little bit more. It also creates a situation in which you can let Dan Moore develop and improve and have another camp. But if it isn't going to work, you've got an option there as well. So I think they're moving the right path when it comes to their offensive line, which was a huge worry of mine this time last year.
Next year, the cap number will go up because the TV contract kicks into another gear next year. Do you feel confident in the pathway they have right now with Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you've got he's kind of walking right down the pathway to be the market setter at his position. I think you've also got the common dichotomy between free safety and strong safety, two distinctions that just really don't exist in the NFL anymore.
Right.
At the same time, you've got Jamal Adams, his horrendously bad contract that's getting worse every game, clogging a lot of this. From the Steelers' perspective, I mean, there's absolutely no way Minkah Fitzpatrick does not want to say, plain and simple, here's the highest paid safety in the game. Here's 90 reasons why I'm better than this guy. Pay me more than him. That's what I want. The Steelers aren't going to want to use that contract. They're going to want to have him probably more at around the level where the cap is. So hint, hint. Minkah playing on his option now. I said the same thing about TJ Watt, to be honest, leading into it for the same reasons. The market is just too explosive at that position to suggest odds are better an extension gets done as opposed to the tag. I think they'll end up tagging him. So that would just be my thought. And with that, too, you're looking at a two-year valuation for him of about $14 million per year. I think the tag would be about $17 million for safeties in 2023, and he's got 10 and a half this year. So Steelers are getting a deal over 2 years, and they don't have to worry about a long-term deal. I think they'd like to get one in, especially for the reasons that you mentioned. The cap's going to go up. They're only just getting caught back up in spending now from where they were. So with what they've done so far, I would imagine that Minkah would be very high on their list of people that long-term they want to keep in place. We'll see if he's not trying to price himself out of the market. He's a young player. He's easily the best playmaker in the back seven of the team, right? Within the secondary, at least. It's a guy that they need to keep around for sure, but he's going to be a top-of-market guy. Do they want to have two top-of-market defensive players? That's really the question. I would say if they're throwing $7 million a year at Mitch Trubisky, I don't know what they want to do with Minkah Fitzpatrick, but they shouldn't be too tied up in contract distinctions if they're signing that to play quarterback and don't have a decision to be made on Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Well, the Adams deal is one that's, I mean, let's be honest about it. When he signed it, I was like, what the heck are you signing him for that kind of money for? And I think it sets a standard in the league. Look, I mean, he didn't hold the Seahawks hostage, okay, and release them one at a time until he got the money. They agreed to it, but it's not a standard. Yeah, I mean, other teams should follow.
It absolutely is. It was set the second Seattle traded a generation draft picks for.
Yeah,
why Seattle did that, I don't know.
I have no idea.
That's what happens when you give up that much capital in a trade for a player. They're writing their own contract, too. So when people talk about, this situation now with Deshaun Watson, for example, keep in mind, you're not just giving up draft picks. You are also making him the highest paid player in the NFL a year from now, probably.
Yeah.
It's whenever he wants to get that contract. And he's going to sit at least four games this season as it is. So making those big trades carries with it the weight now that you have to make the player at least the highest paid at his position. And that's exactly what Jamal Adams did at 30% over market for his services because of that trade, which I thought was ridiculous at the time. I thought his contract was even more laughable. There's no way the Steelers are going to use that as a comp. And I can understand why Minkah Fitzpatrick would want it, but they're in a tough spot for that very reason. They're in a very tough spot. I don't know if they can move on that until he's tagged at least.
Well, if we paid, you'd be the highest paid at your position.
Oh, I hope so. Nobody's trading me, though.
We're not.
I got to work for my market.
I am not trading you, big dog. Neil, thanks. I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.